Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to Talk Straight. My name is Minister Ricky Waller, and I am sitting in for Pastor Reuben Dockery. We bless God for a day that we never have seen before, and we trust that something would be said or heard through someone listening that would cause them to draw a little bit closer to the Almighty God, as well as to the conversation, just in case you have questions or concerns, maybe comments concerning what we will be talking about on this night. So if you have an opportunity to call, we welcome you to call in to talk straight and to just chime in when you choose to. I believe that that song is talking about a wonderful change has come over me. I don't know about you, if you have experienced that in your life, you can't help yourself. You cannot hold back. You cannot minimize or deviate from the thought of how grateful you have a right to be that he has changed you. Glory to God. So we're going to start out with the scripture, and I ask you to humble yourself concerning the last segment. I don't know if you was tuned in or able to listen at all, but we were talking about something that I found to be very interesting, and it is how to use athletics as a tool of discipline. My goodness, I mean, athletics surely brings forth discipline because there's a certain practice that you have to apply in order to be a part of the team in athletics. And so we just welcome you again and trust that through this particular passage of scripture, you will understand how valuable it is to be able to win, even in a race. I'm talking about cares of this world has overtaken a lot of people in our communities as a result of that wicked one. So we need to get in a race that would cause us to be able to recognize the power of change. I say myself personally, I'm that person that will admit that change is not easy in the beginning once you experience a little bit of it. But once you get your taste of it, it actually do you some good. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, I want to read this passage of scripture, and then I would read verse number 2. Where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sound like me, he didn't even have no shame. He was basically, as he was able to endure, he knew that it was a powerful statement that was made when it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we just want to welcome you again. For those of you who desire to chime in and those of you who are just listening, there is power when you're looking unto Jesus. And I would say I haven't always done that, but it's always a starting point to learning how to become disciplined in your relationship with life as a whole. And when I was in the world, I had no contact with Jesus and what he's capable of doing. But I heard about it. And on this particular day, I would like to say to you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there's nothing wrong with hearing the word of God, even if you don't know the word of God, even if you haven't tried him. There's always a time of entering into the race. And I would say if you're weighed down with the cares of this world, again, we're going to talk about how to use athletics as a tool of discipline. That's pretty deep to me because a person talk about athletics and say, hey, what does the Bible say about athletics? It says a lot about it, glory to God, I would say. It talks about a race, and the Apostle Paul even talked about a race. But let me read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Goes on further to say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Glory to God. Could you imagine running in a race and then being taught how to run a race? Well, in this particular race, there's a style of running. And I found out the best way to run in a race is follow the instruction. That's what it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. That's the one we need to lean on and depend on and be ready for the teaching. If you desire to call in, why don't you? We would love to hear from you. And again, on behalf of Pastor Dockery, in his absence, and I'm sure he's doing the will of God, and we'll just pray that everything is working out according to the order in which he desires to do God's will. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And so on this night, we want to please God and ask you to call in, and if you have something that you'd like to share, you are welcome. But in the meantime, we will continue, because the word of God does say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he would be in the midst of us. So I'm not the person that can answer every question. Glory to God. The man that I believe that's capable of doing that, he's not in on this particular segment. But as I set in on his behalf, glory to God, I just want you to know I'll do all that I can according to the topic. And the things that I do know, I will share with you. And that I don't know, I would not mislead you. I guarantee you that. Amen. So that's why I stick closer to the one who gives me the instructions on how to apply what it's like to run in a race. I remember getting in the race, and once I got in the race, I had to deal with how I was going to run it. And when you have bad habits, as I noticed in verse 1, according to Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Could you imagine being weighed down with the cares of the world, and then it says here to lay it aside? And the sin which doeth so easily beset us. But what I like about the ongoing part of this verse in chapter number 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't it amazing to know that there is a race set before us, but not many people are going to enter into the race for obvious reasons? And respectfully, I understand that. If I didn't trust, if I didn't believe, if I didn't have a desire to enter a race, then it's no need in me expecting and looking forward for Jesus to do anything for me, because the word of God says you have not because you ask not. And I remember I asked for some help because I knew I needed some help with the weight that I was carrying around with me according to the world's way of doing things. The world's way was more attractive than the way, glory to God, that I would assume that it would be like inside the will of God. But until I was able to try him, in which I heard so many people say, you have to try him for yourself. So this night will not be by force. It will be simply by choice that you tune in and that you bring forth questions or either comments concerning this particular topic, how to use athletics as a tool of discipline. And I know some of you that are listening understand the power of discipline. You have you've had, I'm sure, discipline your kids. If you have kids or someone you know that on the job and it may not be doing things the way it's designed, and you just have to discipline them so they would learn how. Well, it's the same thing about joining in the Kingdom of God system. If you don't know how it goes, don't come in demanding that you know or pretending that you know. Just follow the instruction. The first thing a person do, according to what I've learned with this scripture, is I have to first enter into the race. And while I'm in the race, I notice something. It says, lay aside every weight. Isn't it good news to know that you can be ready? Ready for a change in your life? And you're just ready to just lay aside every weight that's so easy to beset you? And you're ready to run with patience? Good race now, because that is a race. That's what athletics is all about. That's when you know that you're in the race. With you as we continue. Until someone call in, I would continue to teach, if you will, what I've learned. I won't teach you what I don't know. I would teach you what I've learned. And if you want to follow with me and turn to scripture, that's what we're going to talk about, because in my community where I dwell, there's a lot of people that don't know anything about the will of God and his ways. And so they're only doing their own thing. They're going for what they know. And there's no way you can belittle them or talk down on them at all, because I remember going for what I knew. And knowing the Lord, I did not know him. So I had to trust myself, which I can be honest with you and tell you that I was trusting a fool. And when the enemy know a person trusts in themselves and how foolish you would be trusting in yourself, then the enemy know that you cannot trust in yourself and the Lord at the same time. So I never pretended that I knew the Lord. And that's the reason why I said I trusted in a fool. I'm just being honest. I admit it. I admit it. I'm not going to deny that. But today, I'm glad.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have a caller joining us. Caller 8112, last four digits. I'm going to add them on here with us now.
Praise God. 8112. Glory
yes,
to God.
Sir.
We welcome you to Talk Straight. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And
not
I tell you, amen. We praise God. You know you my girl. You understand? I know
not
that.
I love you guys.
Yeah, got one on the line. And I'm just talking about some things as we start out. You know, this is the second segment of what the first half was about. On Tuesday, we was talking about some of the things that we are doing, the ongoing of it now. You know, that's the purpose and the plan that God has in store for us on this day, is to carry out what we talked about on Tuesday, which brings forth the second half of, again, of Talk Straight. And we were talking about how to use athletics as a tool of discipline, which we had a nice time. Amen. We had a thing going on, and discipline is in effect. Now, I want to let you know how much I am pleased with how immediately we was able to discipline ourselves, and we wasn't talking over each other, and that to me was a thumbs up. You know, we can get our communities. Yes,
I can interrupt you again. I'm sorry. We have another caller joining us. Last four digits, 1098. Wanted to just introduce them and add them in on the discussion tonight.
Glory to God. Yes, we welcome them to Talk Straight. And what is the digits again? Welcome to Talk Straight. You have something to say? Let us know who you are. We just want to thank God for you.
This is Outcast 1098.
All right, praise God. I know that number right there, man. We thank
Outcast.
God for you,
got your name right tonight.
How you doing?
All right. I'm all right, by the grace of God. Thank you.
Praise God. My goodness, I tell you, I was just sharing with 8112 about how we enjoyed Tuesday night, how we was in fellowship with the format of being disciplined, how to use athletic as a tool of discipline. And it was such a wonderful opportunity because we didn't talk over each other once we recognized our topic and the value of it. And we just wanted to focus on what it would be like to have our community to just grab a hold of that information like that and be ready for a constant change that brings forth discipline, which doesn't feel good, especially when one is used to feeding back into something and they don't want to wait until you get finished talking. And the whole world now, the system is made up with confusion. And so that's why one would not allow a person to say what they have to say and allow the person to respond to them in such a way. But I tell you, it was a beautiful thing, and that could be more of my practice today by just realizing it with myself. You know I love sports, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about, well, how do you live life and discipline yourself? Glory to God. And so I read the scripture. I don't know if you all heard it, but I'll read it again, and I want you to come in and talk to me and just kind of let the people know who's tuned in what you think of it. Verse 2, according to Hebrews chapter 12, when it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that sounds like there is a beginning and an ending. So in the middle, we have to go through and run the race patiently. As it said in verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Now, I like this part here when it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's when they go into looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. So we got to run this race patiently so all of us don't be able to get it at the same time. So if we get it, we have to be patient with others that may not know how to discipline themselves. So we have to be an example in our community. Talk to me, somebody. I would 8112 if you will, Outcast, and let us chime in.
Go ahead.
Y'all always want me to run my big mouth, but
yeah,
I appreciate
it. Have to say about
patience is a virtue, mm-hmm. I've always been told. And I had to pray sometimes for better patience because I get very impatient with something sometimes.
Okay.
So I figured the way to win a race, how would you know if you're going to win it if you don't run it?
That's right.
You don't know.
That's right.
You're going to be at the bottom, and you probably be the first one through the line.
My goodness.
But it takes patience, as my friend Gary said, his athletic abilities. I keep reverting to him because I'm not an athletic person.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of dancing and stuff like that, I'm not athletic. But I
Praise
am
God.
Very spiritually inclined, and I know right from wrong. And I also know that on a day-to-day basis, that if God can forgive me for all my ignorance and the things that I do on a day-to-day basis, even if I'm not trying to, then who am I to prejudge someone else?
Amen. I mean, I like what you said, and I'm thinking about you admitting that you wasn't an athlete and everything, but see, in life, you know, there's a race. And then, you know, that's why he's speaking it from the word of God like this. And I think he's talking to the people, you know, how to lay aside every weight. He didn't just say any weight. He says every weight. The thing that's weighing us down that we don't know how, you said, how to handle. And so we have to be patient with you while you're in the race. But you can't run unless you enter first the race. And that's one of the things that I tell a lot of our people in the community that are afraid, Outcast, to just enter the race as if they're doing so much wrong, they feel like it's not fair for them to even enter into the race because there's a race going on each and every day. His grace, there's a brand new mercy every morning. And I believe if a person is caught up and weighed down with the cares of the world, what do you think about that, Brother Outcast, that a person enter into a race with all that weight on them? Wouldn't it be fair?
Well,
be unfair for them to come in like that. According to the word, it says, let us lay aside. Come on in, and I'll teach you how to run the race. Talk to us about that. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt. We have another caller. Last four digits, 3122. I just wanted to introduce them and join them.
You got it. Yeah.
3122? 3112?
Yeah.
Okay.
Selma, Alabama.
Selma, okay. We got to use the talk straight, brother. We was up here, and I think we tuning back in from what we got with on Fusion Night about discipline ourselves in the real world. Got Outcast, we were just getting ready to ask him a question so he can talk to us about patience and how to train you, really train and train you.
Pardon me, I'm sorry, there's some background interference.
Can't
hardly hear you. It sound like someone's driving or...
Yeah. We have a little interference right here. But Outcast, can you hear us, brother? All right. So we got, if you're able to cool down a little bit, as you said, you hear something in the background, and I don't know where it's coming from. I would just suggest you check out what you're doing. If you got the driving, you're into the town, or something going on that's causing all feedback. No, it sounds better now. But yeah. Okay. Back again. But yeah. So let's just talk a little bit further about your public activity in 112, because I think Outcast might have been disconnected for some reason, and I know he'll come back in and just.
Oh, no, I'm here. I just had to step away for a minute. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Now, I wanted to rerun what I was asking about patience and how to lay aside every weight, Brother Outcast, because it's people out in the real world that's weighed down with the cares of the world and would like to change their life, but afraid to enter into the race concerning getting to know Jesus. And it's not their fault, because I sound like to me they have a respect for him. They don't want to come in with all the weight on them. But that's the time to come in, I believe, and learn how to run into a race and let those layers be peeled off of you step by step. Talk to us about that, about just stepping out on faith and just enter the race, because there is a race, and his grace and his mercy is new every morning. So is it talking about people that's out there weighed down with the cares of the world, or is it just talking about people who go to church? Who is this race for? You know, and
it's for every living soul. It's just not for special individuals. It's for every living soul. You know, rich, poor, black, white, blue, green. You know, it's for everyone. You know?
All right.
In the long run,
sorry,
as we know.
Sorry. Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to click over. I got to make an emergency phone call, and I'll call you. I'll stay on the line, but I'll click back in.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Alcan.
You know, it really for everyone, but I do realize this. You know, everyone don't want to be saved. Everyone
right.
enjoy doing what they're doing, even though
mm-hmm.
it's killing them, you know.
My goodness.
But if they wanted to actually turn around, I'm quite sure, you know, they know their way, you know, to Christ, you know, and God. But the thing
yeah.
is this, you know, we have free will. You know, this is what Jesus gave. This is what part of what free will. We have a
like
will
it.
To choose what is right, and we have a will to choose what is wrong. Some people come in and get out of the wrongness. A lot of them, you know, continue to dwell in it and die in it.
My goodness.
It'll be wonderful to save the whole world, but the whole world don't want to be saved.
Right,
know,
right.
Mind is reprobated and things of that nature, you know. So, I mean, you know, this is where it go. You know, if I can help one person, I think I did good. I know a lot
right.
of people set their sights, you know, to helping millions of people. Well, in the long run, this mm-hmm. is what we want to do. But, you know, if you had to start with 5 or 10.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
take that 5 or 10. If it's only one, take that one.
That's
you
right.
know,
I like that.
You know, Professor Robinson having called in, and quite some time, but, you know, his sight was always set on helping a multitude of people, which nothing is wrong with it, you know.
Right, exactly. But as you say,
hopefully sooner or later we'll call in, you know. I don't know.
Right.
You know, he's probably real busy.
Right.
If I can hit one somebody, I think I've done a lot.
I think heaven rejoice over one. That's what I was told according to the scripture now. You know, he said, can you imagine him rejoicing over one? That's you've done a great deed if you can just get one. And that's where being a good example come in at it. I think keep talking, man. I like that what you said, you know, when you were saying something about, you know, some people just choose not to and they die in it. And some people just afraid. There's various reasons why they won't come in. And that's why we need examples out there in the real world, you know, on your job, I mean, you know, in places that we go, we should be great witnesses. Because he said here, you know, that seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So that tells me that we should be able to be witnesses and let it be known that we've laid aside every weight in our life. And as we strive, we may have some things that still linger, but still we have made progress in the race. And that's the beauty of being able to be patient. You know, let us run with patience. So talk to me about, and then I'll get opening it up after I ask you this. What and how do you deal with patience now that you know, when you look back over your life and know how he was patient with you, and now you have a right to say, okay, he was patient with me because I haven't always ran this race and looked for him to be the one to change me. But now that I have experienced it, how would you look at other people who are not in the race yet and you just believing that they possibly will soon be in the race? Is it fair to think that way?
Concerning the race, everybody is in the race, whether it's the right race or the wrong race. We're all in a race, you know, to basically strive, survive, and get what we want. Some of us get what we want legally. Some of us obtain, some of them attain what they want illegally. Races are never ending cycle, to tell you the truth. You know, you got some want to race for the truth. You got some race for the lie. You got some to race for the narrow road. You got some that race to the wide road. It's all in which road you going to take in the race, which direction you going to go.
You started something out there. You said something so heavy right there, bro. We talked about the straight and narrow in a race and the broad in a race. So that means, broad, man, there's a lot going on. That's that world's way, the wide and broad. And it is a race because there are people getting what they want, when they want it, how they go about it. And that's good. Man, I tell you, that was awesome right there. And I thank God for the illustration because that's
what it is. And the choice is your own.
Yeah, you have to choose. That's what he said. You know, this is why the race is so unique, and that's why we have to be better examples. Because there are people that probably have a heart to want to change because they're on that wide and broad. Brother Doug, you know, you've been sitting in. We want to make sure that you get a taste of what we're talking about. You know, being able to utilize athletics, you know, as a point of being able to discipline ourselves out in the real world amongst the people and being a witness, as Outkast was talking about, choosing what road, straight and narrow, by way of knowing you inside of the will of God doing it. And you also got Satan has a way that he would have you running in a race, glory to God, going down the wrong avenue, which I've experienced, I'm sure most of us have, in some way or another. Talk to us about what you think about how to deal with being in a race and run it with preaching, one way or the other.
I think the older you get, you know, patience come with time. When you're young, you don't have much patience, but the older you get, you know, you have patience.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's real good. I mean, that's, we want it right then when we're young, you say, and you take when you get a age, you know, a little bit more patient, you start to handle it a lot better. It makes a lot of sense, and I know because it's that giddy up way. The world has so much to offer, and I know that imagine what all the world has to offer to faith, how people get in a hurry to get it in one way or another, and it's without entering into the race to find out how Jesus would allow you to come in and you could help you overcome strongholds. Very good. I like that. Okay, 8112, talk to me. It's on you right about now. We're still talking about power of being
and
able to yes, exercise.
But and I agree with him, but I also at the same time agree to disagree because when I was younger, I had 7 kids, and I had a lot of patience. It took that to raise them children. But my point now, my patience has seemed to somehow, as you guys remember me saying, my patience, I had to pray for patience sometimes these days.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't even understand that. Maybe I have more patience than I think I do.
Okay.
But however, it is what it is, and everybody lives different lives. Everybody goes through different trials and tribulations. And the only way I contain and maintain myself is I had to talk to my divine grandfather and my father. And that's what I do. If I got to sit here and talk to myself, that's all right, because my mom used to run church in the household, so it's all right with me.
It's okay. That's all right. All right, I understand. Hey, you know, I heard just a little talk with Jesus to make everything all right. I didn't see no physical.
And make it a whole lot better where you can understand a whole lot of other things. And when age comes, supposed to come wisdom.
And when you
get that part, you're going to know you got some of it because you're going to find yourself not making the same mistakes that you used to make when you were younger.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Hopefully
makes sense.
Now, mind you, everybody ain't quick to sing.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I agree with that. No, they're not. Happy you should put them out there. Hey, look, we should put it out there. You can get a grip on it, you understand, and understand where she's coming from, or just keep showing up and you'll learn yourself what it is to be patient. She said she had to pray for patience, and maybe she got more patience than she even thought, and I like that. And let's just use for an example. Let's just get a good example.
I hear you.
Who you want to speak, me?
Excuse me, okay.
Brother Wallace?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, I hear you. You want me to speak?
Yeah, please.
Okay, well, I was listening to 12, and I like what she stated. You know, age supposed to come, wisdom, knowledge, patience, and things of that nature, and I agree with her. That's not always the case. And I do agree with her 100%. We do have old fools. I used to run a race, you know, but I was running that race on that wide road and not that narrow road. When I came off that wide road, you know, I set myself over in the hands of God, you know, through Jesus. And I learned to have patience simply because of the things that I was involved in, you know. Educational things and things of that nature. This is where I got a lot of my patience from. But if I had not turned myself over to God through his son, Jesus, I wouldn't have had the patience. So when I was on that wide road, if I wanted some money, I wanted it right then and there. And you know what I was doing. I was in that criminal activity.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, therefore, you know, I thank God for that. And right today, I still have patience. I wanted to say something else, but it kind of slipped my mind. But, you know, like I said, 12 put me on the path for that. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times, wisdom, knowledge, patience does not come with age. You know, you go through God and get that. As she stated, you know, she prayed to her Father in heaven, which is what she, everyone is supposed to do. But at the end of the day, as long as they're in that race, on that wide road, there's no patience. You want it right then and there, and you want it instantly.
Yeah,
I know what I was going to say. James chapter 1. God can't no test no one. Whenever you are being tested, don't state that you are being tested by God. God is not going to put no more on you than you can bear. And thank you, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now shut up.
Yeah, it's all right.
You
know,
ain't got to keep talking if you want to. The pastor wants to let you. I'm listening.
Yeah, that's what it's for. That's what we got to do. I mean, this is the purpose and the plan of God on this. You got epinephrine, you know.
What is that?
And so you say, according to the word in James, it talks about it. Say, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into God's temptation. And that's what happens a lot of times. People fall into it, things like that. And road, you know, we won't just let you go. It makes you see things right then, and you start to want it right then, and you go after it right then, and all these
right.
things, like, get it up, let's get it now, because that's the going thing the world has it to offer. But then when you get into the patient part, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, patience has a job, and if we are hired, like a person get hired on a job, if we would hire patients to work for us, then it'll teach us how to be patient about things. And that's what it is. And that's when it's coming through the Lord. That's where it came from, as you said. You know, you get it from him, you're on the straight and narrow. Because the enemy
right.
has got everything on that wide and broad road, man, that caused destruction. And a lot of people are on it. You see, so only a few are going to be on the straight and narrow, according to what I heard. And so, yes, we are able to go ahead. Talk to it.
No, I'm listening. I'm sorry, I was listening. I was just agreeing with you.
Right, okay, and so we have energy tonight that would remind us, of course, myself, and I mean, I'm very appreciative of this panel because, you know, I talk about athletics a lot, and you all know I do, and it has to do with basketball when I'm all by myself and I can't have nobody else around. There's no showing
right.
off to be because there's nobody else around but me. So it's something that
right.
I've been doing for years, but it's a big part of my life. And now I have to look at it sometimes and think about, man, how patience really actually works. This ball is still there in my presence. In other words, on my mind, even though
right.
when I got in the fast lane, you know, I was captured with the ball in my hand and couldn't even exercise the thought of, you can handle this basketball, man, and don't even know it. That's how powerful the wide and the broad is. It won't let you see how to be patient. But as I come
right.
back now, I pick the ball back up now, and I understand that, man, this is a beautiful thing. Had I not got inside the will of God, I would never have been able to see the beauty of knowing I can pick my ball up while I'm in the house, nobody else is around, which I've done many years ago, but it wasn't the same as it is now. I do it
right.
because it gives me peace. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm dealing with
right.
issues in my life, that's just my particular way of having patience. And so I don't worry about going out, how I'm going to survive, how I'm going to get this. Once I pick that ball up, it's a ball
right.
now. You know, whether it's for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's still
right.
the patience that it takes to give me that peace I need right then. Talk to me about,
mm-hmm.
you know, how tough it is for people to not know, as you stated very clear, Outcast, and I know Man's Brother Don in just a second, the same thing. You stated that when you was doing what you used to do, it caused you to go to prison and do things that
right.
patience was not on the journey, and you learned patience, and you came back
right.
and said, man, that's what you do today. You know, you walk in that today, and you live it today.
Right.
You exercise
exactly.
it. So that's a great exercise there. You know what I mean? And you got freedom.
Yeah, and you know, like me, you know, I got bookshelves of books, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, all kind of books, psychology books, I got all kind of books. But sometimes, you know, I pick up one, you know, and I sit down and read. You know, like you said, you get your basketball, and you know it relieves you in a sense.
Right.
My books, you know, it does the same thing for me. You know,
yeah.
I like to fish. You know, I'm getting ready to back swimming, you know, behind this surgery and things and that nature. I had went to see my doctor today. And I can swim, you know. I'm gonna start light. And then eventually I'll be back up on that high board doing a lot of halves and that nature, you know. I like itself, I came up playing all types of sports. But the one that I actually lean and gravitate towards is you know, springboard diving, platform diving, and stuff like
yeah.
that. But at the end of the day, patience. What do they say? You act in haste and you regret at leisure? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever heard that? I know you heard that saying, you act in haste, you regret at leisure. Patience.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to 12, you know, stating, you know, that you had 12 children. And
mm-hmm.
I thought you
I
did
ain't
a fantastic
got no 12 children.
Job.
I said seven.
Seven. I believe, yeah, I'm sorry, but I do believe you did a fantastic job. And you were dealing with seven different personalities. And each one
yeah.
of them, you had to nurture them, you know.
Yes,
and,
sir. Thank you so much.
I do believe you did a beautiful job.
Thank you, sir, because I appreciate God for that because I couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah,
I could not have done it without him, and they're beautiful people, and I love each and every one of them. But you said what I used to say to them all the time. I'm just one me. I'm dealing with seven of your own personalities.
Yeah. My goodness. My goodness. How awesome is that?
Yeah, you know, my mother, you know, it was seven of us, actually eight. It was a boy before me, but he died. And out of the seven, I was the terror of them all. Yeah. I wanted it my way or no way. And
yeah,
he
I got
me
one
deal.
Of them. I got one of them, too.
Yeah, all right.
Because so, they had to have patience to learn. It ain't going to always be your way.
Yeah. Take that. Hey, Brother Don, let's hear from Brother Don.
Who that, Brother Don?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Talk to us, man.
Yes,
we're talking about patience and how you deal with patience. Even in the midst of how can now we talked about sports and everything and we come to peace, and we talked about 8112 having peace, you have to learn how to have peace, and be able to exercise it inside the kingdom of God, you know, is to be in this particular race. Have patience, because it talks about it in such a way when it says run with patience. That's the beauty of it. Not without it, with it. Talk to us about what's in your life that's causing you to be able to deal with patience, as you spoke a little bit earlier about how you grow as you get older.
Reverend Ronald?
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask 12. I would like to ask her how old she is. Ms. 12?
I'm sorry, you would like to ask her what?
How old are you?
What difference does that make? I'm a woman of wisdom and knowledge to a certain degree. I am 54 years old, sir, and I'm not ashamed of it because I thank God for it. Every day I'm still living. I thought I'd be dead a long time ago, not from what I was doing because of the challenges in life. But he told me, hold on, it's going to be all right in the morning.
Ms. Twain?
Yes, sir.
Don't you know you're over 10,000 years old?
It does not matter to me. My earthly birth says I am 54 years old. And you challenge how you challenge what you challenge, and I'm a challenge.
How I challenge it,
because for each and every day, when you lay down at night, you don't know if you're going to be able to open your eyes and say hello, world, or goodbye to the earthly world you live in. And that's what I go by. And I say thank you, God, for Jesus, the power of positive thinking.
Miss 12, don't
yes,
you know
sir.
You're over 10,000 years old? Queen
man, I ain't going there. You
kind of
low. Really, I don't even trip off shit like, oh, excuse me, Pastor. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, my goodness. You made me think, man, you too dramatic.
I'm letting you know, Queen Elizabeth, I'm letting you know Queen Elizabeth ain't but 2,500 years old.
I said I am a 54-year-old queen, baby.
We know that.
I am my own queen. I am a queen. So I'm not worried about Queen Elizabeth. I'm talking about Queen Diane Smith. That's my name. She's on number name two outside my birthday. My age is 54 years old. I live where I live. And I am a queen. If I don't think I'm there, who the hell's... Oops, see, there I go again. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Tell it like it is.
Who the heck I think it's supposed to... I feel good about the inner me because I help a lot of people. And if they don't give it back, that's okay. Oh, God, go treat
Queen
me
Elizabeth
the way
you give
me. That's royal. I am royalty, baby. I come from royalty.
That's right. That's when you're over 10,000. Queen Elizabeth's 2,500.
That's all right. That's okay. I can handle Queen Elizabeth. She come and talk to me. I'm going to talk to her like I'm talking to you.
That's right. Pastor Waller.
I hope I ain't say too much for a pastor. He ain't hang up there. Pastor.
Pastor.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me, somebody?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm still online.
Okay,
you hear me?
Me too. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I'm still here. I don't know what happened to the pastor. I don't know if they blanked him out.
I hope I
always stepped out for a minute.
He might be it. Because
well, we can
I was
talk amongst each other till he come back. He'll be back.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I want to remind y'all, keep reminding y'all, because up under when President Trump came in the 911 building, they put these boxes to listen to all the conversations.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, everyone, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is the host. Just cut off the show. I think Pastor Waller may have had some technical issues. I guess we'll go ahead and take our break a little bit early. And I'll have to...
Yeah, man,
we
just said we'll talk amongst each other till you get it straightened out.
Yeah.
Can she hear us?
What?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can Miss Lady hear us? I don't know her name or anything.
I was saying we could go ahead and take a quick break for Pastor Walker to get back online. But and I have to do the
message. We have to hang up?
No, ma'am. It'll play alongside with you. So I'll just put us on a quick break, and we'll do our break message, and then we'll be back with Pastor Waller in about 3 minutes.
So we just stay on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
I've been listening to everybody. I was, you know, my phone got disconnected, but I was listening because it wouldn't connect. So you all able to hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Very good. So we back. We talking about this love train. That's what the song was saying here, and I like that. You know, we talking about getting on board, and that if there's if there's an order of getting on board, this is a good time to get on board. And I had to be patient for about 3 or 4 minutes, but I want to thank the sister that's conducting us. I want to thank her for being able to step in while it was disconnected for a minute. But let me say this, that what the enemy needs for bad, God always gets the good out of it, because we had to be patient, right? And I had to
wait
until I can get back in, glory to God. But I was able to hear you all, and I thank you for seeking me to get back in, and because you say you'll do the talking until I get back in. You see, I heard all of that. So in the midst of knowing what we're talking about here, we want to continue, and I thank God for, again, the dialogue and everything that we're doing here on this particular night. Most of all, I want to make sure that we can strive and keep that same strive about being a witness in our community concerning people who are not in the race yet, and some are on the wide and the broad. But we do know what's available, and that is to get into this race where looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to ask a big-time question, glory to God, that will add to what we have been talking about. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there is a crown going on. Y'all still hear me pretty good?
Yes, sir.
Okay, in chapter 9, according to 1 Corinthians, there's a crown that they talk about. It says, in verse number 24, it says, "Know you not that they was running a race, run all, but only one received the prize? So run that you may obtain it."
the power of run that you may obtain it, meaning that you have to learn how to run, how to discipline your body to win the crown. I don't know about you, but I like my crown. I'm striving for my crown. I don't want nobody else to strip me from getting my crown. And if you have a crown coming and you believe that, you have to run with patience, because he says, all run, when you get in this race, all run, but only one win the prize. Talk to me about, you know, how you're going to continue to run a race, because you're either going to run the race of darkness or to run the race in the light. The wide and broad road, we know that is a race going on there, right? The straight and narrow, we know there's a race going on. So talk to me about, are you going to continue to run the race where you can get your crown that the Bible talks about? Who would like to talk on that? What do you say?
Oh,
I can't talk to us about that.
Well,
about,
you know, I mean,
race.
I'm going to keep, I'm going to stay on the road I'm on. Because I got my crown.
Explain.
I got my crown free. I've been wearing this crown for decades now. And I enjoy how it feels. And it's not
right.
Picked out with diamonds, rubies, and gold. You know?
Goodness.
A crown of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
know? Man. My goodness.
No incarceration.
Man.
It's
and
old,
yeah,
dusty,
it.
Raggedy, because I've been wearing it all these years, and guess what?
Yeah.
Keep wearing it.
That's the key to it. Keep wearing it. I like that. You say, keep wearing it, because that crown you deserve, and you got your crown, and you're not going to turn your crown in because of the wide and broad and all the things that they have to offer. I really like that. And if you can get more witnesses to admit that, you know, there's nothing wrong with you having that crown, because it says run that you may obtain it. So when you get it, don't deny that you have it. That's what it sounds like you're doing. You're saying right now. Yeah,
I'm a queen and you're a king, as Mr. Don said.
Glory to God. Yeah, that's good news, because that's what you qualify to be, and you should admit that that's what you are and have no shame in your game.
And I don't.
Because,
I
know you don't. Yeah, I know you don't. I love that. Hey, we need more of you. Yeah, amen. And so we know that the young generation, we need to make them aware who choose to be on the wide and the broad, who choose to be on the straight and narrow. It's by choice. And so when we learn that, we're going to be witnesses on one or the other. You can be a witness and make it seem like it's a good thing. That's wide and the broad. Or you can be a witness and know that it's a good thing, because Outkast just said it. He said, and I love it. That's what you just said. The crown that you own and that you have, you say you love it. Bless God. Brother Don, we want you to come in, brother, and talk to us about how you feel about the continuation of winning the race and wearing the crown, because you said only one win the race, and he said only one win the prize or run that you may obtain it. So it's talking about whoever get in this race and you run that you're going to obtain it, then you get your crown, because of the way you run the race. You don't have nothing to do with how fast you are. Go ahead. Say that 8112. What were you trying to say?
Something is got so much in the background and appearance, we can barely hear you or him.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to ask Brother Don. Do you have anything going on that you're making some sound, Brother Don, in your presence? Are you doing something? Because we do hear a little feedback, and we're not able to hear very clear what has been said. And I think that's what 8112 is saying. And we was talking about how to conduct ourselves concerning how to win. I read it again, if you will, where it says, "Know you not that they that run in a race all run, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain it." So he's telling us how to run. Run that you may obtain it. In other words, stay in the race. And once you get your crown, don't let nobody strip you from your crown. Don't let nobody tell you you don't have a right to admit that you love being able to be in love with your crown. It's not that you're being egotistical. It's not that you're being arrogant. It's just mean that you love this crown, because where you came from what I heard Outkast say, that's not something that he loved. But he had to deal with patience until he got free.
And that's just like anything else we deal with in life. Once we get free from it, whatever it is, we should be able to be grateful for it. And that's like, again, everybody's not going to love Jesus, not going to try Jesus, not going to even make mention of his name. That is happening, so we can't deny that. But what we can do, we can appreciate if he's done something for us. Because I know I couldn't change me. I have to be the first to say, I tried to before I even went to him, before I entered into the race. I tried to change me, but it didn't work. And I had to holler for help, and that's where I got the help from. And he trained me how to run a race. And the number one thing he gave me was patience. Take your time. I waited on you a long time. Wait on me to change you. And that's what I did. And when change came, I'm not ashamed of it now. So I'll tell it. Amen. You know, because I know where it came from. You know, he allowed me to get in the race with all this weight I was carrying. And it was pretty heavy. But I stayed in the race. And I just kept running. And I just kept believing. Because my desire was I would like to change my life. And I don't know how to do it. And believe me, Jesus being the author, the starting point, and the finisher caused me to be able to go through. So I just had a joy just realizing that. And had I not got in the race, I wouldn't have been able to meet these good people on the line right now. Amen. So talk to me, somebody. The floor is open. We want to hear from you. And if those that are listening are not able to say anything, but we trust that they'll get something out of it and be able to recognize that this is what being able to recognize how to utilize athletics as a point and a way to exercise your life in the real world amongst the people as a whole who is on the wide and broad. How do you exercise, patience? How do you exercise being a winner out in the real world when the real world and the wide and broad way is so attractive? I mean, we can't deny that. It's attractive in many ways, you know. It's got a speed to it. It's got a look to it. It's got a feel to it. And for us to be able to say, like what Ike said, he said, this crown I got, I love it. Yeah, it's got a lot of miles on it, but I love it. And I ain't going to let nobody send me back that way no more. You know, that's good news. Amen. If you want to reiterate on it, brother, you can. And sister, you want to talk to us, talk to us. You know, the floor is open. I've had enough. I shared. I want to hear from you all and how important it is to exercise, you know what I mean, out in the real world, not just in athletics. But you told us, 8112, that you didn't do the sports thing now. You know, but you was able to exercise your patience with your kids. Huh? Amen. The floor is open. Yeah, the floor is open. Don, you need to talk to us, Tay? Yeah, come on, talk to us, Don. Amen. But now, if you just stepped out for a second, or maybe. But we still, as I said, enjoy. Yeah. Can anyone elaborate on what we're talking about concerning the power of being able to recognize that you can exercise your life out in the real world and be productive, you know, among challenges? I mean, when I say challenges, that's some challenging times, I'm sure, because the world looks like what they're doing is very attractive. So, amen. Let me do something right quick here, if you will, in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. We're still talking about a race. And he says right here in verse number 5, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, if a man also strives for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? In other words, you're not crowned unless you play according to the rules. There are rules now, but we know the world has rules, and you have to play according to the rules. And when you're inside the kingdom of God system, it has rules. And so we have to strive. And if a man don't strive according to the rules, he can't get his crown. Good God Almighty. I just said something right there. I said, if a man don't strive according to the rules, he can't get his crown. Can you sound like you're striving? Can you look like you're striving? Can you feel like you're striving? Or do you have to strive in order to get your crown? because the world already look like, sound like, and feel like. And you sometimes can't tell which one is from the world and which one is in Christ. But you should be able to know when it's personal. You're not worried about what it looks like. You're applying it in your life. So somebody talk to me about this particular verse and what it's talking about, how you should strive. And if you're not striving according to the order of the rule, you cannot get a crown according to the will of God. Man, pretty deep. Somebody talk to me about that. Talk to us. Anybody that desires to, we open the floor to you. And we just believe that it's important to stay on course with what we're talking about concerning the joy that it brings to be able to say, hey, I got a crown, and I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to turn my crown in. I wear this crown well. I'm getting used to it. I haven't always been used to it, but I'm getting used to it. And it's pretty unique. I'm not going to be ashamed of this crown. This is much better than what I used to do. Glory to God. But Outcast, can you hear me? Are you here? 8112. Brother Don.
I'm Brother Don, still here.
Yeah. Okay, talk to us, because I don't know if we had a disconnect or anything, but we're talking about this crown thing, man. We're talking about how to run it and how to be appreciated. Yes, sir.
Pastor Wallet joined the Moore Science, and I didn't go in the direction of my father, man, but I went to Moore. But the Moore Science, it really connected me with Christ on a real deal, and just like, and that's when I was telling the sister she was over 10,000 years old, because the Moroccan flag is over 10,000 years old. And the ancient name for the Moroccans is the Moabites. And you know, Ruth was a Moabite. And Christ lineage went all the way back to that Moabite line. So you have a path that you have to travel. And you can't travel with the world. You have to travel with Christ.
So you had a chance to learn to travel with Christ because, you know, you came from, and you didn't travel with, when your father went. Is that what you're saying, or are you saying you did? Because when you got a chance to travel with Christ, was it a lot better than not traveling with him? I mean, talk to me about that.
Traveling with Christ is different than traveling with the world. The world will trick you. I mean, it'll really flip you if you don't know who you truly is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It will trick you.
Yeah,
but that being said, you guys are older than the younger people, so I thought you were supposed to be talking about them and how to help them. Okay.
Yeah.
You got that part. I got that part. So allegedly, all of us have that part. But we ain't talking about what happened 100 years ago. 75 nor 80. We talking about trying to help the young generation in 2018. How do you make that happen without talking about yourself?
Being a good example, that's good. That's what we got to be. We got to be an example to help them. We have to be an example, and that's what we started out talking about. Being able to
be
witnesses.
We're talking about them, not us.
Yeah, being a witness, that's what we're supposed to be. Being a witness, that's what he's looking for. In order for that to take place, we have to be witnesses. We have to be able to be examples and exercise what it's like to be patient.
And I respect that with the utmost respect, but also at the same time, you may have 100 young people on here listening, and they talking about they don't say they ain't worried about me.
Yeah, but that's where you get examples from. You have to know, because you can't tell a person something that's not willing to listen. But when you listen, so you get around wisdom, and that's where wisdom is. Wisdom is those who are walking according to wisdom toward those who are outside. So if a person,
Pastor Wallace, I agree with you on that, but my point is, we are trying to reach people who don't have wisdom. We are trying to reach people who ain't listening to what your rhyme, our, not just yours, rhyme or reasons are. I am not a sociologist. I ain't got all that part, but I got life. I got life, and I deal with people. So I deal with my own every day. from and their friends, their little cousins, everybody. But my point to you is this. We're trying to reach out, but did we get caught up so busy being in the moment of ourselves that even though we say we're reaching out to them, we're not talking the same language as they speak and understand, sir, is what I'm saying.
I got you. I'm right there where you're at, and I'm glad you said it. So I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Now, I only go according to the word. I don't step into my own trust. But if he tells me to be a witness.
A lot of them don't know the word, sir.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. I didn't say they know the word. I didn't know it myself. And I was young. I didn't know anything about it. But being that I was paying attention, I was a listener, I was able to listen because the enemy don't care about whether you're young or old. He just wants you to do his will. And that's where the wide and broad come in. Let me explain some to you. Listen to what it says here. This is not me talking. This is the word. And you tell the young person who's listening to look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where it says this. And you don't have to know the Lord to say to hear. You just have to be open-minded. So listen, let me finish. Let me finish. I'm gonna give it to you. It says
I can't
right here,
really hear you, sir.
You can hear me now?
Somebody needs to put their phone on mute.
Yeah, okay, you can't hear me? Okay, can anybody, yeah, are you able to hear?
I can hear you now.
You can hear me? Okay, listen to this. It says, wherefore, seeing we also, it says we also, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, now, it says, let us lay aside every weight. That means we put our lives apart, set it down. And the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So in other words, to be a witness, that means that we must have learned something that we can share with the young people, and the only thing you can share with them is your experience, your being able to exercise what worked for you. Now, if a person, for instance, they've never done drugs before, but they've done something else, and they don't know how to get free from it, but the person who was on drugs was saying that I used to be on drugs and I got free. Well, teach me how you got free. And I would say, I got in the race. See how simple that was? It don't have nothing to do with how old you are. It has to do with are you able to listen and hear and then take that and say, okay, I smoke cigarettes and I got a bad habit. How do I break it? I say, get in the race. And so these are the tools that work. Now, everybody's not going to be able to do it the same way, but they'll be able to do what worked for them. And that's the thing. You have to get in the race. Personally, yourself, that's the only way you're going to win the crown. So I'm grateful to be able to hear you say what you said, because there's so many young people that are scattered in our communities that know nothing about the power of being weighed down with the cares of the world. They're just doing their thing. But if we be an example and share with them and say, I used to be weighed down with a lot of bad habits. I gave it over to the Lord, got in a race, and I ran with patience. I had to wait. Just like I became addicted, I had to wait to get free. And when you do that, you step into the race for your personal self and say, hey, I'm trying it for myself. And then you find out and you go tell somebody, because that's what a witness does. If a person go to court and they call you to be a witness, they get you on the stand and you be a witness. You be a witness of what it is that they're asking you or that they got you there to witness about. And that, to me, is what we need in our community. We need examples. We need people to exercise not being ashamed of what the Lord has done for you, because that's something that happens when the people get inside the will of God, go home and see the world's way and become afraid to tell what the Lord has done for them. Because
but
they're
may
thinking,
I ask you this, Pastor?
Yes, you can. Sure, you got the floor.
What happens to the ones that's so trapped? I'm gonna tell you a story, and it's a true story, and I'm gonna make it brief,
okay.
I'm gonna say it for real.
Okay.
I had a grandson. His mom passed away not long ago. This child tried to save his own mother's life while she was in the bed with her boyfriend or whatever. No disrespect for her. May her soul rest in peace. This child is lost that confused. So sometimes we have to be careful how we reach out to one another as the elders of the children. They don't hear you. They hear you, but they can hear you because, and you heard what I said, because? Now, that's the part we got to figure out. Why can't you hear me? And I'm speaking to you, and you are not there.
Isn't that deep?
That's deep, isn't it?
It's a good one because it is because of something.
Isn't that deep, my question?
It is. It is very deep. So sometimes
we think we're saying the right things. We think we're doing the right things. We think we're reaching there where we just, not just because God is my divine grandfather and Jesus is my father, but we think we're doing all the right things. And I think what y'all been asking me all this time, how do we reach out to the children and the young people? That is a big, big question. And when somebody finds a solution to it, it's not going to work overnight. It's going to take more than one or two or three or four people, and I respect what y'all are doing. That's why I stay on this radio session. It's not because I like confusion and drama and debate. It's not about that. It's about I'm willing to learn something because one of you guys may say something I need to know. Hold on, and I'm going to click off, and I'll click back in.
Okay. All right. Praise God. You know, you talked about
Hello?
I love that. Yes,
Hello?
I hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. I was
Hello?
Able to hear you very soon. I'm here.
Can
Look
you hear
here.
Me?
Yes, we can. But you
can you
click
hear
back
me?
Over.
Hello?
I can hear you. You can't hear us, but you got to click back over.
Oh,
so brother,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hello?
It's okay. Now I can hear you very well. I've been hearing you all day long, but, you know, with you,
okay,
I've been on mute.
And I'm waiting on an emergency phone call, so it's okay.
Yeah, you're on mute, but that's okay. And I want you to know what you were saying. I'm interested in what you were saying and how you put it. And the thing about the children today, are they able to hear? They're unable to hear because. And because it is a reason. Okay, now, when I was a kid, you know, I had to remember that I was thinking like a child. I act like a child. I've done things as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what a child always does is think the way they're supposed to think as a child. Now, when they open their minds to wisdom that someone have and they think they don't have it, that's not the person who has the wisdom who's willing to pass it down. So, because there is a language that I've been young myself once upon a time. I know I was able to listen to what the elders were saying. Now, if they close their mind and don't want to hear, it's not the messenger's fault. You follow what I'm saying? The man who spoke to me, it wasn't his fault that I didn't hear. But the man that spoke to me when I heard, I have to still admit and give him credit. I said, man, he spoke a word, and I gave him credit because I was able to hear it. We have to be witnesses. That's what witnesses is about. He was being a witness on how good God is, and I had to triumph for myself. So that's what young people have to come to a point where they'll be able to be bold enough to say, okay, I just heard what the minister said. I just heard what the brother said. I just heard what the sister said. And they all saying that they have a relationship with the Lord. Wouldn't it be fair for them to say, well, I heard what they said. Let me try it for myself, because that's the only way they'll get to know him, is to try him for themselves. Yeah. My mother
right.
may know him, my father may know him, but do I know him? And that's what I had to deal with, and I'm sure they'll have to deal with the same thing. In the world got a lot of things for them to learn and learn from. And a lot of people are learning from the world's ways of doing things, but we need examples. We need witnesses out in the world. We need people who have a relationship with God to go and share with the people who don't. And that could be a generation of young people that are very smart and intelligent while they're young. But the enemy don't care about how smart and intelligent young people are. He just wants them to be on that wide and broad road so he can destroy them. But we have to be witnesses. That's what the word says. We are winding down in time. We are just about winding down. It's been good. And I appreciate everybody who's taking time out to listen and to share questions and comments, because this is what it's all about. The topic tonight was how to be able to exercise and utilize your witness in the real world? Can you use athletics as a tool? How can you take, you know, something that they play ball, football, basketball, baseball, and every other sport, and then take that same example and exercise it and use your athletic ability to discipline yourself in the real world without picking up a ball, without shooting a basketball, catching a football, throwing a football or a baseball, and then you living your life and you're being able to be an example? That's beautiful, right, within itself, to say, hey, man, I want to be able to be athletic out in the real world without a ball in my hand. And I can be a witness to help other people, as you said about the young people, because they definitely need somebody to reach out to them. And that's the way that I've been doing for many years of my life, just because I'm concerned. You know, Adam, I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it over to you for a minute. There's a word that says, I once was young, but now I'm old. You see, that means once upon a time I was young, you were young, you know, and we're of age now, and we have to be considering and concerned about the young generation who deserve truth, and that's what they deserve. So talk to me. We get ready to wind down. Let me ask you something, if you will, and if the other outcast and Brother Don is on the line, we'll give them a chance as well to say something encouraging to the people who are listening. A112, talk to us for a minute, if you will. Final phase, and then we will be winding down because we only have about, I guess, 5 minutes.
Okay, it is what it is, and I wish all you guys the best in your endeavors, and I'll do what I can from this end as a person, and that's all I can say.
God, I mean, we praise God for you. Doing what you can do is more than enough. I mean, at least you're doing something, and you know you're coming in, you're tuning in, and you take it back to the people what you have learned, and let them know that, hey, you know, you have some things to say that you still standing up on for them and encouraging them, because that's what's in your heart. You would like to see young people do better, and we will continue to fight for them. Brother Don, you have anything to say? Outcast, if you're lying, which one of you may want to go and speak something? If not, we will continue to just be an encouragement to the people who are listening, and thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk to have comments and questions, and, you know, just want to be a part of such a wonderful opportunity to dialogue with something that's very interesting, talking about how to utilize in your life and exercise in your life athletics as a tool to be able to carried out in the real world. I love that. You know, I can be out in the world and say, hey, I'm like an athlete without a ball in my hand, trying to survive this cruel world out here. How do I stay on the straight and narrow when there's so much the world has to offer, to keep from being able to trip, slip, and fall off into the wicked schemes of the enemy? I'm glad I'm on the straight and narrow, and that's what I can say. Amen. Glory to God. So listen to me, and we just trust that. Again, something that was said or done. We trust that next Tuesday that Pastor Dockery will be back, and we will continue to do what we are doing right now. I'm just grateful that he allowed me to co-host the show, and I was able to, through you all, make it through, because I didn't want to talk for the whole show. Amen. And I thank everyone who tuned in and had a chance to be a part of. So until we meet again, we pray God's blessings upon you, as the word of God states very clear. It's where there are two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, he said in his word that he would be in the midst of us. So praise God for you. We will be tuning in on the very next time. We have a right to celebrate. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And if you're glad, you can praise him right where you are, and you don't have to be ashamed of what he's done for you. Glory to God. Until then, may the Lord bless you. Real good is my prayer. Thanks again, 8112. Yes. So now, God, we still believe that we serve a mighty good God. Is that right? And there's more to be revealed. Yes, God.